So tonight we continue our study about what it means to go viral. What it means to interact in a world that is really, that is very much shaped and affected by social media. So the choices, the decisions we make, the things we do, the way we interact in our lives is affected by social media. It's interesting. Scientists have realized that media, we tend to think of media as something we use. Okay, so my if I pull out my phone, this is a form of media. This is a device. It's a tool, right? And we tend to think that tools are just inanimate objects that we use and that we use to make a difference, that we use to affect change, or that we use effectively in our lives to accomplish purposes and those kinds of things. And that's very cool. We tend to think of our devices that way, but we rarely think about how these tools and these devices and these things change us. Have you ever thought about the fact that your cell phone, your smartphone changes you? Do you change? Did you make a change? If for those of you guys who have smartphones, who previously had a flip phone, or as Miss Monica used to call it, a dumb phone, if you had a dumb phone and you moved to a smartphone, did that smartphone change you? How did it change you? It made you think differently, act differently, make different choices in some ways, right? Because now I don't think, oh, you know, okay, I'll just go home and look that up. I'm like, okay, I got this. You know, now I'm not, and if I'm having a conversation, and if I'm standing here and I'm talking to Clancy, I'm going to embarrass Clancy. She's like, oh, my gosh. So if I'm having a conversation with Clancy, and I got my smartphone, and somebody texts me, or you know, I think about something she says, I hear Facebook chime, or I hear Instagram, a notification, then what am I going to do? So what happened to Clancy? Yeah, she became irrelevant. That's a little strong. But I disengaged from my conversation with Clancy, didn't I? And I focused on this. It's interesting how media changes who we are. It affects the person that we are. And we talked a little bit last week about what it means about who you are on social media. The person that you are. What's your image? Tonight we're going to talk about what your influence is on social media. Last week we talked about that social media is for you guys and for me a platform. Just like this stage is a platform. And what does a platform do for you? What does this stage do for me if I stood up on it? It makes me, thank you. which is something I very much need. Yeah, it makes you taller. Now, by being taller, how does that benefit me? You can see me better, right? You can hear and understand. Those of you guys who are in drama. No, I didn't say have a lot of drama. I mean, are acting out in that drama. Tori does drama. Julia, Riley, some of you guys, other guys do drama. You have to be on the stage so people can see you and hear and understand and see what you're doing or what you're saying. If you were down front and they couldn't see you, wouldn't be much of a play. That is a platform. And each of us in this room has a platform. And what we realize is the different that you have much more of a platform than I did. People hear what you say. Many, 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 many more people hear what you say when you post it on social media than people would ever hear what I had to say when I was your age, because I didn't have that kind of platform. I had to get on the phone with Sarah and get her to call somebody for me, you know, and plug into things. Anyway, y'all don't understand what that means, do you? Anyway, I had to make a phone call, so I talked to one person. And if you were set up, you could have a party line. And with a party line, Miss Kathy's like, yeah, okay. And then you could get two or three people maybe on the phone. But that was like your platform. You didn't have that kind of visibility. So now you guys have a much greater platform. When you post something, 200, 300, 400, 600, 1,000 people could see it. And you have a, because of that, you have a much greater influence in your life than I did at your age. Now, when you have influence, you have responsibility. Greater influence means greater responsibility. Because if you have greater influence, then you can hurt more people. You can harm more people. You can do more damage. And so that's a greater responsibility. Theoretically, then, you could also do more good. You could help more people. You can encourage more people. You can build into more people. You can do more good for others because you have a greater influence. So influence is significance. And your influence translates into a significant responsibility that you guys carry. And that responsibility bleeds over into who you are in Jesus Christ, because your influence impacts the influence of Cornerstone. And ultimately impacts the influence of God's kingdom in this earth. So the responsibility you carry is huge. So we're going to talk tonight about your influence. What is your influence? What's your influence on social media? And how are you using social media to accomplish the purposes that you, that God would have you to accomplish in this world? Or how are you working against what God would like to accomplish through you in this world? So that's our topic tonight. Let's pray together as we start. Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your word. Lord, I pray that you would open your truth to us, that you would lead us according to it, and that we would be willing to hear and anxious to hear the things you have for us tonight, and that we would be about your business, Lord, as you lead us through. Lord, use us mightily, even on social media, to accomplish the purposes that you desire. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what's your influence? I want to talk tonight about several things to kind of coach you guys on how to use social media to have an influence for God's glory. All right? This is the way we should be using social media. First thing, share Christ in your network. Share Christ in your network. If you have come to a point in your life where you put your faith in Jesus Christ, then you have become a witness. You have become a witness. And a witness proclaims what he's seen and what he's heard. A witness is that person who is able to give an account. So this is a good example. Remember what Jesus said when he said that, he said, wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. And when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. So you will be my witnesses. What does it mean to be a witness? Well, when I was almost done with college, I was in my second or third year of college. And I might have told you guys this story, so I'll make it fairly brief. I took a summer job, so I didn't come home from working. And I couldn't get a good job because I was a college student. And you are, where's Kayla? Yeah. Do you have a job? Here. She works for the church. Yeah, she works. She's an intern. It's hard to get a job when you're in college because everything's temporary. It's just tough. It's hard to get a job when you're in high school, isn't it? Some of you guys? Yeah. It's tough to get a job. Well, I had a job, and I was working at Hardee's. I got to tell you, man, I was the best-looking cashier they had at Hardee's. I had it going on. All the girls that worked in Hardee's wanted to date me. It was like two of them. What did you say, Haley? By this time, I had outgrown the mullet. I was looking good. So anyway, working at Hardee's one summer, and I left Hardee's to drive home back to Clemson. I was at Clemson, go Tigers. And I was over in another little town nearby, Seneca, or whatever it is, something like that. And I was working my job, and I got off about 3 o'clock. So I'm riding home in my Nissan stick shift. And it's summertime, you know. The wind is down because I didn't have air conditioning, I don't think. Anyway, so I was rocking it out, riding home, listening to music. Well, it turns out there was an accident in front of me. I didn't know it. And I swear to this day, the sun was in my eyes. I didn't see anything. But anyway, There was a car in the left lane in front of me. I'm on the federal highway, big highway, four lane. I'm riding along, and all of a sudden I see this car. And it's like, from me to Andrew, you know, maybe a little farther than that, but it seemed like it was right there. And I slammed on brakes, but I couldn't get out of the way, and I ran in the back of them. And it was a bad accident. I hit the windshield because back then we didn't wear seatbelts. I didn't go through the windshield, but I, like, made a dent in the windshield. And my fist went through the dash. Anyway, when you're moving it, like, that's not a good thing. Kelsey's like, that's not cool. Anyway, bad thing not to wear a seatbelt, by the way. Just a little comment. I got in this wreck, and it was a pretty bad wreck. And, I didn't think it was my fault, because the car that pulled over in the median had just, they stalled right in the left lane of the highway. How was I supposed to know there was a car stalled in the left lane? It was just sitting there. So I thought, it's their fault. Or, you know, it's just an accident. Well, there was a lady in the car beside me who was a nurse. Praise the Lord, because the lady in the car that I hit quit breathing. And she got her revived. But that lady told the cop came over to find out what happened, right? Well, you know what she said? She said he didn't see her and she had her turn signal on. Well, as soon as she said she had her turn signal on, it was my fault, because she had a signal for me to see so that I could tell she was stopped. That lady was a witness. That lady was a witness. She saw what went down. She watched everything. She saw me, you know, that kind of thing. And she saw the lady up there. She saw the car. She said, I could see it. I could tell he couldn't see her. I was thinking, ugh, and then pow. So she watched the whole thing go down. And she stopped and helped, and then she told him what happened. That's what a witness does. A witness sees what happened. They see the story. They know the story, and they tell what they saw. That's what a witness is. That's what I want you guys to be in social media. You have seen what happened. In fact, Romans, we'll pull it up here, but you can look in your Bible if you have your Bible, Romans chapter 10. Paul talks about what it means to be a witness, what it means to know and tell the story about Jesus Christ. Look what this verse says. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is Paul talking. He says, look, everyone who has faith in Jesus Christ will be saved. But how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? So, the story might be true. We might know it's true that Jesus Christ died on the... You may know that. Look, I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, that he was raised again the third day, and that all I had to do was put my faith and trust in him, and if I would believe in him, Matthew, pick up your notes, it's not a footstool. If I believe in him, then I would know that I could have eternal life. That's what I could know. But how will other people know unless I tell them? That word preach, how will they know without someone preaching? How many of you guys are preachers? Just me?
No, I preach the word of God all the time.
That word for preach is the word that I'm wearing. Let me sport my shirt right here. This word, I wore it for you guys. He said, what in the world? This word is a Greek term, karuxon. Karuxon. It's a verb. And it means to proclaim, to tell. It doesn't mean to preach. This church says proclaim or preach or teach the Logos, the Logon, which is the Word of God. So when you guys get to college and you join a fraternity, you'll know what the Greek letters were, right? No? Anyway, no. The karuxon ton logon, to preach the word, to proclaim the word of God. This word karuxon is the word to proclaim. And it means preach, like I'm doing, like I preach or proclaim the word. But it also means to tell, to herald, to make known, to proclaim that something has happened, right? So if you had a little brother or sister, who's got a little brother and sister? And the little brother or sister is out on the driveway and riding his bike. And he falls off the bike and scrapes up his leg, kind of like Chase over here, scraped his leg real bad today. Did y'all see that? That is gross, dude. So anyway, Chase will model that for y'all later. But if you and your little brother or sister scrapes his leg or her leg, and then you run in the house, and what do? You proclaim, you herald to your parents that something happened, right? Okay, that's what it means. You have seen what happens, and you rush to tell a story. It's to proclaim a message. It's to tell someone a message. What is the message we have to share? The good news. That's what the word gospel means. The good news. And the good news is that while God is condemning all people because of their sin, Jesus Christ died for you so that you can be saved from that penalty. And you can experience the forgiveness of sins and stand righteous before God and live with Him forever. That's good news. That is good news. And we have good news to share. And I talk to you guys often about sharing that good news on the baseball field, on the football field, in the cheerleading squad, at school, with your friends, in the band, whatever you do. But what I don't say often enough is you are a herald or a proclaimer of the good news on social media too. Let it be that our posts, at least at the very least, proclaim that we know who God is, that we're witnesses. Because you can be a witness of you can share a message, a good message or a bad message. The question for you guys becomes, what message are you sharing? There's a whole lot of people sharing a bad message on social media and with their day-to-day lives. What's your message? What are you sharing? Because you're proclaiming something to the world around you. The question is, what are you proclaiming? Because look, how beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the good news. How beautiful are the feet of those. Why are their feet beautiful? Are your feet beautiful? They're like, oh yeah. I think so. Y'all want to see? Like, no. You ever think of people's feet as being beautiful? Why are their feet beautiful? Because they bring good news. Because they bring good news. Because they are the messengers, the ones who deliver the good news. That's why their feet are beautiful. Now, let me give you a few ways to witness in social media. This is it. Write these down quick. First, show God's love. Show God's love. I don't have those up there. Just write them down when I say them. Under point number one, show God's love. Your post on Instagram, your post on Twitter, your post on Facebook, your life in general should demonstrate the love of God. Because He loved us, we love others. That love that has been shown to us ought to be reflected in the things that we post. People ought to know us that way. Wow. It shouldn't be that we're posting hateful things, harsh things. It shouldn't be that we're talking about other people or bashing other people. Listen, guys, or doing any of those things. Because we should be showing the love of God because we're witnesses for the grace that's been given to us. And because we have been forgiven much, we can show that and we can forgive much. We can love much. Because we have been loved much, we can love much. It ought to show the love of God. Second, speak God's truth. Speak God's truth. Not the world's truth. Not the truth according to you. We ought to share God's truth. Where do we get God's truth? Yes. So if you haven't read it, you don't have any truth to share, okay? Read it so you have more truth to share. It ought to share God's truth. You ought to speak God's truth on social media. Last, share your testimony. Share your testimony. What's a testimony? Good, Chris. It's your story. What's your story? Well, grew up in a hard life. I had to walk to school uphill in the snow. You say on fire? Wow. That's a really hard life. Your story. Now, everybody has a story. Your testimony, the story I want you to share is what Jesus Christ has done in your life. What has Jesus done in your life? If the answer to that, guys, look at me. If the answer to that question, what has Jesus done in your life, is nothing, no, you're not wrong. Then that means you don't know Jesus Christ. If you don't have a story to tell about what He's done in your life and what He redeemed you from, what He saved you from, what He rescued you from, the change, the difference He's made, what He's accomplished, then you may not know Him. What has He done in your life? That's a story I want you to share. Share your testimony. That's to say, you know what? I was in this spot and I hit the bottom. And God delivered me. He forgave me of my sin. And He transformed my life. Now, it may not be this amazing thing. Oh, I was a biker. You know, you guys hadn't lived long enough to be bikers and do all that kind of sin. Most of you, right? But God still transforms us. Even if we live in a home that was a great home, you still were born a wicked little sinner. As Pastor Bill says. And it still took grace to save you. And you know what your testimony is? If you grew up in a home like that, God blessed me with amazing parents. And I grew up in a home where I knew and understood the gospel. And they taught me what it was to obey God and live for His glory. And that's a pretty awesome thing. I didn't have as much of that. I wish I had. I wouldn't have the scars to look back on. I don't want to tell people the story about my scars and about my pain. I would have rather skipped that and just gone to the part about, you know what? God saved me. That's an awesome story. Tell your story when you're on social media. Next, foster accountability through friendships. Now, some of you guys aren't going to like this, but it is what it is, okay? Foster accountability through friendships. Galatians 1, look at this. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, now transgression is a sin. If anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore such a one, restore him in a spirit of gentleness, keeping watch on yourself lest you be tempted. Now, what does it mean to be caught? That Greek term caught is prolambano. If we're doing Greek terms today, we'll do that. It means to take beforehand. Lambano means to take, and pro means to do it beforehand. So it's to be caught before you realize it. If you get caught in a trap, did you know beforehand you were going to get caught in the trap? No, because if you had, what would you have done? Yeah, you would have went around the trap. If you'd have known, you would have gone around it. To be caught in a trespass is not to realize this thing and be then caught in sin. Now, we're enticed, we're tempted by Satan to sin. We're tempted by our own flesh to sin. We're tempted by the world to sin. And what he's saying here is when a person is caught in any transgression, in other words, when they get trapped by sin, when they get wrapped up in sin in their lives, and you guys know folks like this, some of you, you are the ones who are trapped in sin. There are all kinds of sins. Pride. Lust. And there are all kinds of ways to be trapped in it. And what Paul says to the Galatians, he says, look, when anyone's caught in sin, you who are spiritual, restore that person. Now, what's required for restoration to happen? There's got to be some spiritual people. We can't all be caught in sin. There's got to be some of us who are walking spiritually. And what is it our responsibility to do? To go to that person and say, look, I know you're wrestling with this. And I want to help you. I want to help you. You don't go alone. Keep watching yourself lest you be tempted to. But you restore that one. Love confronts. If you have a friend who's caught up in drugs, you know what you need to do? Confront them. If you have a friend who's fixing to make a decision to sleep with her boyfriend, confront her. If you have a friend, guys, who is trying to sleep with everybody he knows and all he does is lust after every girl that walks by, confront him. That's what love is. You who are spiritual, restore that person. I tell people all the time, that what's going on over here, guys? There's a lot of activity over here. All right, here's the deal. I tell people all the time that I am not the cop of the youth group. It's not my responsibility to chase you guys around and watch everything you're doing. And I get told by students, such and such was doing. Or I even have parents sometimes come. Do you know such and such? It's not my responsibility to follow you guys around on Friday night and make sure you're living for God's glory. It's not my responsibility. My passion in my heart is to see your heart changed so that I can sleep at home on Friday night and know you're all good. Not because I'm watching or your parents are watching, but because your heart's been changed. But when you see a brother who's or a sister who's struggling with that, they're being tempted, you step in. Students come to me and tell me stuff that other students did. You know what I say? Yeah, did you say something to them? Well, no. Well, duh. Then they're probably still doing it. Confront them. Not harshly. Not judgmental. Because except for the grace of God, you'd be in the same spot. With gentleness. Like he said, you who are spiritual, restore him in a spirit of gentleness. You go to that person and say, look, let me help you here. Don't do this. Don't do this. Faithful are the words of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. If you go to people who always want to tell you what you need to hear, then you're not going to get help. Guys, if all you do is tell your friends what they want to hear, you're not a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. An enemy flatters you. They tell you it's all good because they don't want to hurt your feelings. They don't want to bother you. But a real friend steps in and says, whoa. But a real friend is the one who weeps because of the choices you're making. That's a friend. Be that friend on social media. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But he who hates reproof is stupid. I love that verse. What a great translation. The word stupid is used of cattle. It's like a dumb cow. Isn't that a great picture? The word is brutish. It's like a brute. Cow don't know, right? That's the perspective. The one who loves discipline, loves to hear someone correct them, loves knowledge. They're like, yes, thank you for speaking into my life. That's a teachable person, like Pastor Bill talked about this morning. But the one who doesn't want to hear it is like a stupid old cow who won't listen to anything, just about their own business. Refuses to listen. It's the bull in the china closet kind of mentality. All right, next. Keep the private. Private! Isn't that a great statement? Very profound. Proud of that one. Keep the private private. All of your business don't need to be on social media. You hear me? You don't need to put everything out there. Now, there's a couple of different things here I want you to get. Well, let's look at the text first. 1 Timothy 5. I love this text. Paul talks about the busybodies and the idols and the idle people and the gossips. He's talking to women here. No offense, ladies. But he's talking to the young widows. And he says, look, at the same time, they, the young widows, also learn to be idle. It means they don't have anything to do. When you don't have anything to do, what happens? Now you're getting busy about somebody else's business because you don't have any business of your own. You're bored. So now I want to dig into somebody else's business. As they go around from house to house, not merely idle, but also gossips. Which means they're spreading rumors. Oh, did you know she said, You know, whatever else it is, right? And busybodies. I like that term. I looked it up. Let's see. Yeah, a busybody is a meddlesome person. A person who meddles in the affairs of others. So now they're all up in your relationship. And they messaging him and her. Did you know she said, he said, and they said, and whatever, right? A busybody. Does anybody know anyone like this? Whoa! Hey, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Oh, no, that's not what this means. She said, I can't stand not to be busy. I am busy all the time. I am not idle. But a busybody's all up in somebody else's business, not their own. So that's not me. What do you mean? She said you. But a busybody's all up in somebody else's business instead of their own. Chris is testifying. All right. Now, this is the deal. We don't need to be in somebody else's business. Don't share somebody else's business on Facebook. You know what? If two of your friends are having an argument, having an issue, you don't go on and say, well, she said, he said, and you know why nobody should like him, you know, whatever else. If this guy broke up with your best friend, that doesn't give you license to go out and bash him on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Does that make sense? You just had this conversation? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, don't do that. That's not your business. And it's certainly not the business of the 600-800 people who follow you on social media. Or their friends or anything else. Friends of friends of friends. Keep your private stuff private. And you know what? Keep other people's private stuff private. Now, let me say this. Everybody wants someone else to feel sorry for. There are times when we suffer and we have pain in our lives and we're struggling with things and we're upset and we're hurt or whatever. Don't put that on Facebook. Y'all know what subtweeting is? Somebody tell me what subtweeting is. Emily educated me a couple weeks on this. I don't know the term. Somebody tell me what subtweeting is. Somebody, where's Gage? All right, Teal's got it. What? Yeah, when you tweet about someone without using their name. Well, and you're out there and you're like, don't you hate it when people do this and do that and do that and everybody, and there's like four people who follow you are going, I know what she's talking about, or I know what he's talking about, right? Yeah, and then the other 600, 700 people are going, what? Well, maybe half of those. And then the rest are going, yeah, I do hate that. And they have no clue what you're talking about. Don't do that. That is not what you do on social media. That is not using your influence for good. If you got something to say to someone, say it to them. Don't say it to everybody else in their presence. You know, I don't walk up to Hanan and say, hey, Hanan, with Alicia sitting here, and I'll say, hey, I don't really like Alicia, you know. You know, and I don't say, You know that girl that goes to youth group's got blonde hair and wears that wearing those black pants tonight? Yeah. You want the media team? You know, I don't like her. I don't do that. Or did you know she did such and such? You don't do that. If you have a problem with a person, go to them in kindness, in gentleness. Or you know what? Just forgive them. How awesome is that? Just forgive them. And by the way, I like Alicia fine. I don't have an issue with her. If I did, I would tell her. There's a couple of things here, and I know we got to be done. A couple of concepts I want you guys to get. When you communicate, use appropriate media. Okay? Some things need to be said face-to-face. Some things need to be said face-to-face. Texting won't communicate everything. A post on Facebook, a post on Instagram will not communicate everything. A picture is worth 1,000 words, but it doesn't always get you there in a lot of cases. Sometimes you got to communicate face to face. Other times you got to call them. You got to have there's got to be a conversation here. And texting's too abbreviated. All right? And then other times it's okay to message them in some way. And then there are times when you can post something publicly or you can just comment on someone else's post. And what changes what the media you use is the gravity of what you have to say. If you just found out that someone's parent or brother or sister or cousin, whoever else has cancer, you wouldn't go on social media and tell them. That's a conversation you have face to face. Guys, if you're going to break up with her, that's a conversation you have face to face. Be a man.
Thank you.
There you go. Little affirmation from the ladies. Be a man. That is having the courage to do the hard things. If you want to ask her on a date, call her face to face. Don't text her, hey, baby, you want to go out sometime? No. No, I don't want to go out sometime. And by the way, who is this? You know? Right? You don't do that. Wait a minute. I'm running out of time. Yeah, you can FaceTime if they can see you. Okay? But not for a date. No, I mean in certain more critical things. But in a day, if you're going to ask her out, you show up. Be a man. In fact, I want to tell you something. Ask her dad first. That is pretty awesome. If she doesn't live with her dad, ask her mom. You hear me? You might be all like shaking your knees or whatever. You go ask him. If he says no, you shake his hand, say, thank you, sir, and you leave. Don't stay. Okay? You ask him. Guys, do this thing. There are certain media that you have to use. You've got to choose well. All right, next thing. Choose the appropriate visibility or scope. Some things are private. Some things are private, guys. If you have a tension issue with someone, that's private. Don't share that with the world. Share it with them. Give them the courtesy. Now, they may not give that back to you, but you show them that courtesy. There are some things that are not appropriate for social media, and you don't need to put them there. Choose well. Usually, the reason we make a post like that is because we want to win people to our side. And the Bible has terms. There are amazing Greek terms, most of which Paul described for the Corinthian church, that describe what it means to faction and to divide and to create sides and to try to build your side of the argument against the other side of the argument. That is not the goal of social media. That is not the goal. All right, we got to be done. A couple of Proverbs, you got them in your notes. Use it well, guys. Use your influence for God's glory. Use it well. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to study your word. Lead us as we go out, Lord. May you be honored in our lives. Bless us. And Lord, may we have an opportunity to understand what it is to know you and to live for you and to live for your glory. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.